everyone out there in podcast land, this is your host with the most, Tyler. On my left, I got Travis. Meh. On my right, I got Robbie.
I just sold my Camaro.
And on across the table, I have Jason. And I have, hiding in the corner, probably crying somewhere, about to let out a huge burp, I have Taylor. Introduce yourself to the wonderful public, Taylor.
¿Cómo está? Bien, señor.
He will not be speaking Spanish the entire episode.
Just most of it.
Just most of it, yes.
How you doing, Tyler?
I'm doing great. Yourself?
I'm doing quite well. I'm currently downloading some games for PSV and for PS3.
Awesome. We will definitely get into those later in the show. But first off, welcome everyone to episode 11 of our monthly Mighty Noob Studio podcast. What's everyone up to this month? Travis?
Nothing.
Nothing? Okay, great story. Rob, what have you been up to this month?
I've been playing a lot of Ragnarok DS, and sadly no Dragon Age Awakening, because I'm poor.
That's sad. Jason, if the food's out of your mouth, what are you talking about?
Pokemon!
Alright. Taylor, what have you been playing?
On a more serious note, Pokemon. little Battlefield and a lot of Final Fantasy 13.
Awesome. I've been playing Battlefield and I've gotten back into WoW. Yes, I've gotten back into WoW.
The idiot?
You.
Yep, I'm back. It's scary, I know. But,
yes. No, wait, no. You're gonna be on your laptop.
Anyway, so it's been an interesting month the past month. Let's just let's kick things off with some big releases. Bad Company 2. I'm just going to say straight out right now, way better than Call of Duty in 20 billion different ways. Anyone agreeing with me here?
I think definitely. 20 billion in one ways, actually.
Oh, that's even better.
It's more of a war game than the solo, lomo, must get as many kills as possible version of Call of Duty.
Yeah, it's not as arcadey. It's actually more serious. You actually have to think and react and work like a team.
I think it's more of a modern warfare than modern warfare.
That's a good point.
Yeah, there's nothing more satisfying than being revived by a medic like 9 times in a row.
I know, right?
Like I said, modern warfare.
Because, you know, when that happens in real life, I'm going to go to Iraq, get shot, and some guys will be like, hold on, it's your first aid! And this is zap me back to life.
No one's going to be a medic in real life.
Just ignoring my skull blown off. Yeah, oh yeah, my bad. Everyone's a sniper in real life. Of course. How did I miss that?
So, does everyone here have the VIP for Battlefield?
I do.
I know I do.
You don't?
And Travis does.
Yeah.
Everyone, me and Travis do, and Jason does.
Yeah. It's the greatest invention anyone has ever thought of.
I have it.
It is, and I hope that kind of DLC, like we've talked about before, DLC being more of a free kind of incentive.
Not $15.
We're getting into that, don't worry. But I think, like, what Battlefield is doing, giving you a reward for buying their game early, is definitely the way to go for the future of DLC. Because it makes me want to buy it more.
Mm-hmm.
Just saying. Instead of having to shell out $1 billion, but we're getting into that later.
Indeed we shall.
Yeah, oh yeah. But, any unique stories from Battlefield?
I love the destructible environments idea. Like, it just adds a whole other layer to strategy. Like, you'll be camping in a room, and then a tank just blows through the wall and kills everyone.
Yeah, I think that's wicked great. Definitely keeps you on your toes, and you really have to know what you're doing. And not just run around like an idiot gunning people down. It's a breath of fresh air, and I'm definitely going to be playing that while I'm playing Modern Gay Fuck Stupid Douchebag 2.
I also really like how one person can really change like the flow of battle. Like, if you have one really selfish camper, it's going to hurt your team.
Oh, completely. That's happened to me so many times. Just one sniper who thinks he's all that in a bag of potato chips, hiding in the bag, and while we're all trying to rush, we could be using him, but he's just like, nah.
Especially I'm sniping, it's conventionally added.
No. Stick a dick up your ass.
Yeah, and on the positive note, like, one good squad can help you win, so, like, good.
Good.
like me and you, Jason, every time we get in a squad with, like, Arc Beetle and someone else, I can't remember their names, but we'd go in there and we'd just totally dominate.
I know.
It was awesome.
Because we worked together. It was like, if you're with a group of friends, then you will win.
It's definitely way better with friends.
Rob, pick it up from here. Come on. Get in the game.
I do not have Battlefield Bad Company 2, I'm sorry to say. Anyone else have anything to say about Battlefield Bad Company 2? The only thing I can say from watching it is the vehicles are definitely a giant selling point for a lot of people, including myself eventually.
I also like how it's the vehicles are much more fair, it's easier to kill them than in Call of Duty, where a payblow just rolls around and kills you every time you step outside.
So nothing else about that company too, then?
No.
I just caught a Machop with my pedometer.
Oh, yes.
Oh, okay. Well, on that note, Pokemon, Heart Gold and Soul Silver. I know both Taylor and Jason were super excited to get it, and you guys have probably both been playing that a lot.
I'm currently.
Yeah. So,
I'm using my pedometer, or my pedometer, whatever. I'm measuring the pedo-ness of my Pokemon.
Oh, okay.
Well, so far, Nidoran is 4,068.
That's almost over 9,000.
Okay, Taylor, why don't you give us a nice overview of Soul Silver and Heart Gold?
It's definitely a very good game to pick up. Even if you've played the original ones, it's a complete rehash. It touches the it follows the storylines of the first game, but it's delivered in a completely new package. There's a lot of new content, and also it's a much longer game. It's almost like you're getting two games in one, because you can play through the storyline of the first Pokemon, Red and Blue. You can battle through that area, as well as the one in Gold and Silver. I actually haven't finished the game yet, so I can't tell everything, but there's tons of new content, tons of new guys. It'll keep you busy. If you're someone who likes to level grind, there's plenty of that as well. But, I mean, the pedometer, I don't know what they call it. I think they call it the Pokewalker. It was free. It's not like they charge you extra for it. And it adds a little game on the go. And you can't hate on it.
Indeed, like Taylor has just said, it has, it's pretty much the same game with a lot of new stuff incorporated into it that doesn't change the old game at all.
Okay, so from what you guys just told me, it's Pokemon Red and Blue area combined with the Pokemon Gold and Silver area, with the Gold and Silver storyline, with a lot of the new things that we saw in Diamond and Pearl.
Yes. Also, the couple new things that they have added is, unless you're like a real like competitive battler, you may not notice them, but there's a couple of stat changes, a couple of move changes that tweak competitive battling a little bit, but if you're really not into that, you probably wouldn't notice.
And Sand Attack is still as rigged as ever.
Oh, God.
Okay.
It took me like 5 times to beat the first gym leader.
However, the phone in this game, if anyone remembers it from the old one was quite annoying, quite useless, and there wasn't much space in it, so you couldn't keep all the numbers you wanted. Now I'm almost positive it's infinite amount of space. If not, it's a much larger number. And the calls are actually helpful, and it's much easier to keep track of everything in the game. And it's just a great addition.
Okay. Just out of curiosity, you said because it spans the original game and the Gold and Silver area, how many Pokemon total are in this game?
It's getting close to 500. I believe it's 493. I'm going to Google that real quick.
Okay. So, if you have, can you catch, Red and Gold?
Oh, yeah, You can catch, you can catch all 495 in this game. It's split up between... you can't get all 495 just in this game. It's split up between all the current gen, Diamond, Platinum, and these.
Yeah. Okay, so if you have all the DS games, you can get every single Pokemon.
Yeah, well, the good thing is, even if you don't have the DS games, there's a thing called the Global Trading Center, so even if none of your friends have it, you can just post you want this on there, and someone can trade it to you while you're away.
That's cool.
Yeah.
Not to mention, there's some Sinnoh Pokemon, which are the Ruby, I think, Ruby and Sapphire, that you can also... Oh, no, that's Hoenn. Dang it. The Sinnoh is Platinum, I believe.
Yes.
And sometimes there's these things called, Poke... Flocks. Flocks of Pokemon just randomly come into random areas.
Oh, yeah, swarming.
And, yeah, Poke Swarms. And Professor Oak announces them on his cool radio talk show. And you can catch some Sinnoh Pokemon without having to trade.
Pokeswarm, that's pretty original. Look at guys, a Pokeswarm!
On a more serious note, though, I think that actually is really cool, because, I remember when I first got Red and Gold, I actually got the Japanese versions before they were released in America when I was really young. I always wondered, like, what's to stop random Pokemon from migrating to different regions? So I think having other regions Pokemon randomly come in is actually a pretty, I guess, realistic aspect in the Pokemon world.
To answer your question of maybe previous Pokemon games doing, I'm going to say platform difficulties. Maybe.
I'm gonna say those dang Nigglets stealing your Pokeballs.
yeah, but I do agree that that's a kind of a cool idea, different Pokemon coming from different areas. That is a different idea, different concept. That's pretty cool.
Although, I do have one bone to pick with it. Nintendo's notorious for putting stuff in games and then kind of forgetting about it.
Yeah.
They have event Pokemon, which are... Mm-hmm. During a pain of a week, they'll send them out over Wi-Fi, or you'll have to go to a certain place. And it's just a pain, because some they only release that way. And if you miss it, you miss it for good. And the only way to get it is cheating, or using Game Shark, or trading for it. So, I mean, I just wish that once they put it up, they left it up. I mean, it really wouldn't kill Nintendo, or to re-release them at some point. Just, yeah. When you have, like, all but one, and that's the only one you can't get, and you want them legit, and you can't get it, it's just frustrating.
Yeah. Now, can those Pokemon lay eggs, and people can trade the eggs?
Some of them can, but most of them are legendary, and they can't.
Ah, okay.
Like Celebi technically was never released in the United States.
Oh.
Until, like, a while ago, and it was limited to, like, if you pre-ordered a game from Japan.
Yep. Pre-ordering, get a special Pokemon.
Yes.
Well, that's weird, because, I actually restarted my Pearl version probably about a few months ago, because I think it was actually you that told me that I should get Gold and Silver, yes. The new ones. So I started with my Pearl version, and on my old Pearl version, I had a friend that was very much into Pokemon, and I actually had a Celebi on that game, along with a Mew and a Mudkip and a bunch of other things.
Yeah, you wasted your Celebi.
Well, there are also people who just trade. You can make any Pokemon on the computer and transfer it over to a ROM, and it's a dirty business, but, I mean, you can release any Pokemon, technically.
It's a dirty business.
Yeah, many people have died, yeah. But we'll get into the nitty-gritty.
Okay.
Backdeal Pokemon creating.
Yeah. So, definitely buy from you, then?
Oh, definitely.
If I had a DS, I would probably buy it, yeah.
I like Pokemon.
How do you not like Pokemon? Like, really?
Pokemon's a good RPG.
It's definitely a trip down a lot of nostalgia, too. Like, you remember playing it when you were 10.
Yeah, I remember that day. Waking up at, like, 5 in the morning, just sitting on my couch for, like, 5 hours playing Pokemon.
It took you, like, 2 years to beat the first one.
I never beat the first one. I could not beat the final four. I'd get up to the third dude, and even with my, like, 99 Blastoise, he would still kill me. And I would just just stop playing after that.
Power, I used my one Charizard to beat the final four and Gary, and he was only level, like, 70. So I don't know why you're so bad at
games. I don't know. I could not do it. No, but, you know, that was in my gaming infancy, so, you know, maybe I wasn't that good then. But if I picked that now, I'd probably have them all, like, praying me as a god. So you know what? Well, fuck yourself.
I'm pretty sure they're... Never mind.
Exactly.
I'm not going to get into it.
All right, good boy.
To go off topic a little bit, do any of you guys have, like, a gaming horror story? Because Pokemon brings up one for me.
Gaming horror story.
Elaborate. Well, start to tell yours, and if I figure out what you're talking about, then I might...
I had Silver, and there's 251 in the original Silver. Played the bejesus out of that game. I was up to 249 out of the 250 you can get. It's minus Celebi, because we already went through that. It's not possible. So I have one left... And in those games, they had a real-time clock, so it ran off a little watch battery in the cartridge. If the battery dies, you can no longer save your game. So I would find him, catch him, go to save my game, it would not save. So I was stuck on 249 out of 250 for the rest of forever.
Oh, that is horrible.
That is so unfortunate.
I remember getting to the first Elite Four, battling her, losing, and then my blue save just erasing on me.
Oh god, the horrors.
I guess my worst horror would have to be more recently. It was a month before Halo 3 came out, and I had just gotten a new Xbox, and it was literally 20 days to Halo 3, and my Xbox red ringed. And the day before Halo 3 came out, I got my Xbox back. Ooh. And it was a horrible yet happy day.
The next day it red ringed.
Yeah, no, it red ringed like 2 months later.
I guess I have a kind of horror story. For the original PlayStation, Star Ocean: The Second Story, it's an amazing RPG for PlayStation 1. Yeah. And I never beat the game. It's my favorite game of all time. Because I'm at this one part right before the game ends. And for whatever reason, when I go into this one battle, my guys automatically go down to one hit point and no mana, and they all die in like half a second. And there's absolutely no reason. Because if I go into a random battle before it, I'm fine. But it's just that one battle, and I know that my wife just hates me. So, yeah, I can never beat my favorite game ever.
Oh, that's unfortunate.
Sorry for
your restart.
I tried, Jason.
Yes, yeah, so, recently, a big game's gonna come out. FF13. Final Fantasy 13.
Well, you know, it's alright, you know. Standard, it's alright.
I have a feeling you're about to just go, it's awesome!
Well, the graphics are better than real life.
Real life doesn't even look this good.
Yeah, pretty much. I mean, the cutscenes are, oh my gosh, amazing, and even the battle scenes are just, like, CG worthy. People say the story isn't the best story in Final Fantasy history, which I agree on, but it's still a pretty dang good story. And the character, like, it focuses on the characters a lot, which is what Final Fantasy is about. Like, they concentrate a lot on their character customization and their growth throughout the game and stuff. So it definitely has that. And a unique and innovative battle system, like almost every single fantasy that's been released. They keep changing it, and it still works.
Alright, so I've never played a Final Fantasy game ever. Would this be a good one? Would this be a good one to start, or no?
That's a tough question. That's a very tough question, actually.
Because I'm not gonna go. I mean, I could get an emulator of Final Fantasy VII. Supposedly the best game ever made, next to Ocarina.
I actually have it downloaded on my computer. I could send you the ROM.
I don't like going back to really, really bad graphic games.
I feel like this would be the perfect one for you, Tyler.
You think so?
All yeah, right. It's definitely, if you've never played a Final Fantasy before, this is probably the perfect time to jump in, because they simplified the game at the beginning to make it easier for new people to come in.
Uh-huh.
And then it just gets progressively more difficult as the game goes on. But people are way too hard on this game because it's a Final Fantasy game. Uh-huh. Like, if this was just insert RPG name here, this game would be getting rave reviews. It'd be nuts. But because they're comparing it to another Final Fantasy and they're used to what Final Fantasy should be, this kind of breaks the mold a little bit, and they're just way too hard on it. I mean, the story is amazing. The battle system is probably the most fun RPG battle system I've ever seen that's turn-based.
Uh-huh.
And the graphics, like Jason said, are just mind-boggling. Like, I have it for PS3 instead of Xbox, and it's just, every time it's on my TV, I kind of just start drooling a little bit after.
All right, well, I gotta say, I think you just sold me. Yeah,
it really is worth, and it's not as open world. The beginning, the first, like, 11 of 13 chapters are very linear, just like a warning. If you like to explore a ton, then this may not be the best game, but once you get past chapter 11, it really opens up.
I got you. Well, wow, you definitely just sold me just then, more than Jason has trying to explain it to me. I'll definitely get some extra bucks and I'll go pick that up. I definitely am interested now. So, Rob, every time I've been talking, you've been raving about this game, Ragnarok DS, on our 360 spin.
Wouldn't that be going the same way?
Ragnarok DS, go.
Ragnarok, yes, is a rather action RPG adaptation of Ragnarok Online, which is a MMORPG. And I gotta say, it's a very, very faithful reproduction of the game. A lot of people, such as yourself and Jason, I know, did not like the MMO.
No.
But if anyone did like the MMO, this is the perfect DS game. It's been getting a lot of crap reviews, and as I go over it, you'll figure out why. Ragnarok in itself, Ragnarok Online, was 100% grinding and very little questing, and there wasn't much guidance into how to put your stats or what equipment to get. You pretty much had to base off what other people told you in online guides. And the same thing in this game, where if no one, if you don't know how to make a good character, you're not gonna make a good character. And but it's only by the fact that I've played Ragnarok Online so much that I even know how to make a good character. But if you have someone telling you, or you can figure out, hey, if you're an archer, you should get a shitload of dexterity, because it's all common sense. It's a very good game. Pretty much follows the storyline. You're a young guy. You find this random girl. You start a guild. You start getting all these quests.
It's always the random girl.
It's always a
girl. Yeah, they're always... See, yeah, I know, but,
where do these random girls keep coming from? Why couldn't I find one when I was 10?
Because, Tyler, you're not a Japanese RPG.
Well, if it wasn't but a random girl, then it wouldn't make sense.
Oh, yes, because if it was an established, well-known girl, it just wouldn't make any sense at all.
You throw the complete time warp off the scale, and it was just all burnt up in fire. It wouldn't work. Anyway, Rob.
Fire's nice.
Yeah, but unlike the online game, this is actually very quest-oriented, which is what makes it so linear and action-based instead of open world. But, the way... I love the controls of it, because it's, you click on an enemy to attack, but all your special attacks are done differently. Like, you either have to hold and charge it, or you have to, like, slice back and forth against a character, an enemy, to do damage. And I just think the control scheme is very well done. The storyline is decent. I mean, it's not great. It's a portable, handheld Japanese RPG. It's a bunch of horrible jokes and random emoticons.
Sounds like Pokemon.
But, yeah, kind of. And it's very fantasy-based. Like, I enjoy it, and it has multiplayer, or so I've been told, because I am 10 hours into the game, and I'm still not at any place where I can do multiplayer.
Rob, have you ever played Final Fantasy 3 or 4 for DS?
No, I have not.
If you've enjoyed this game, I think you would really like them.
Yeah, I've actually played an emulator of, I think it was 3. Like, a long time ago. And, yeah, it's almost similar, except for, it's not, the combat's not turn-based like Final Fantasy.
Oh, okay.
But it's more or less real-time, but really simple.
Mm-hmm.
Like, kind of Phantasy Star-ish?
Yeah, it's very Phantasy Star. Thank you, Jason. The combat system is very similar to Phantasy Star. I think if you're into the Phantasy Star games, or if you want to play more like a real-time strategy game that's like Final Fantasy, this is definitely a good game. Don't listen to the bad reviews. Just use common sense when building up all your stats.
I see. Still not going to buy it.
I know.
I have absolutely no interest in it at all.
I know.
Especially after playing Ragnarok Online, which was horrible. It took 20 hours to download, and I played it for about 40 minutes. Waste of my time.
Well, those stupid porings kept killing me.
You're horrible, then. Porings were killing you. Porings are the second weakest creature in the entire game.
I was
game.
With you, and you wouldn't heal me.
Was I an acolyte?
Yeah, you were healing. Oh. You were, and then you, like, stopped. I got destroyed by, like, 3 grasshoppers, and they all, like...
Well, dude, that's because the rockers are freaking tough when you're a low level.
Yeah, but you were healing me, so it should have been okay.
Hey, calm your nerve, Chasm.
I know, really. Chill out. It's okay. Don't worry about it. So, Uncharted 1.
If I had to describe Uncharted in 2 words, it would be pants-shittingly, with a hyphen, awesome. It is probably one of my favorite games of all time. And I've just started the second one, and it's even better.
Oh, the second one sucks.
The second one is an orgasm.
I'll just talk about the second one, because it's pretty much the same as the first one. But instead of being stuck on an island, you just travel the whole world.
Yeah, and it's just awesome. It is. We've talked about it so many times.
Oh, it's just so... It's like playing through a movie.
Quote-unquote me. Thank you. At least someone else besides me and Travis thinks so.
I want Naughty Dog to, like, literally make a movie of this game.
I know, right?
And, like, have, like, X's pop up on the screen, or,
Everybody in the audience gets a controller to play over.
You just get to hold the controller, they don't actually use it.
That'd be awesome.
But, the reason I want to talk about Uncharted is, it's part of a game that not a lot of people think about, and, like, you don't notice it when it's good, but you hate it when it's bad, is voice acting in gaming.
Oh, yeah.
The voice acting for Uncharted is probably some of the best I've ever seen. But it just makes me think back to when you have a character and it wouldn't even talk, and you just have to scroll through all that text. And it's just... I think voice acting is one of the most unappreciated parts of gaming.
It's definitely taken for granted.
I think my favorite voice acting was Animal Crossing.
But it's definitely taken for granted. And in games like Legend of Zelda, where the voice acting is subpar.
Non-existent?
Yeah, non-existent and bad. Or if it's there, it's not that good. And it's just random noises.
I feel like that's more tradition.
Yeah, kind of.
Yeah,
but
that's definitely tradition.
Like, all the voice acting in Ocarina of Time was, what? Yeah, yeah!
Well, I mean, like, no, I don't mean Link. Obviously, Link is never supposed to talk. I mean, from, like, in Twilight Princess, like, you hear Zelda talk a couple times, but her voice is really, like, it sounds computer-generated completely, and not played by a real person at all.
Does it sound like Microsoft Mike?
No, it sounds like Microsoft Mary.
Oh, sorry.
And whoever plays, I forget your helper in that game, I can't...
Midna.
Yeah, like, her voice just sounds like someone went, and, like, auto-tune that shit, like, to the hell and back. Like...
It comes out of the Wiimote, just like...
Yeah, it's like... Like, that's what it sounds like, and...
If you're playing in the dead of night, all of a sudden you hear...
I know, right? Oh my god, that'd be so creepy, the dead night syndrome. What the fuck? Yeah, but definitely, voice acting is definitely something that's taking for granted, and if it disappeared, it would be sorely missed.
Like, so, if you have a PS3... Run to GameStop right now. Go get it. It's like $27. It's totally. I would definitely play Uncharted 1 before I play Uncharted 2. And don't watch trailers for Uncharted 2 or anything because it spoils a little bit of the first game. You just go put up some blinders. Go play Uncharted 1.
I skipped the first one.
Yeah, I skipped the first one. I haven't played the first one, but I think I want to go get it. I might go get it because I've been wanting to.
If you've beaten the second one, the first one probably won't be as fun just because like you do the first one in the second.
Yeah, I heard the first one wasn't the greatest compared to the second one.
Yeah, it's because the second one you, like, travel, and the first one you're pretty much on an island, and if you've played the second one, you know, like, all the spoilers in the story.
Yeah.
So it sounds kind of like Tomb Raider. A little bit, sort of, kind of, almost.
Yeah, well, the platforming in that game is very well done, because it's not tedious, it's more, like, time-based.
Uh-huh. Yeah. That's cool. It's definitely good.
Is it like Bioshock 2, in which, like, the very beginning, like, it pretty much tells you what happened in Bioshock 1, like, really well?
I can't remember if it touches on the first one, because I literally played them in succession. Mm-hmm. But, I don't think it tells you everything that happened in the first one.
Bioshock 2 never tells you anything about the first one at all.
Yeah.
No, it doesn't.
It doesn't tell much. It very scarcely does. Well,
yeah, but it tells you, like, the plot.
And they're very basic. Not, like, in-depth or anything.
Well, that's what I mean, kind of.
It
almost.
It was a poor recap.
I thought it was good.
So, me being the internet troll I am, I was on Kotaku.
Yeah.
I like Kotaku.
I don't
it's
know,
really
I'm just
good.
That.
I happened to come across EA/Battlefield poking some fun, and by poking some fun, I mean kicking in the balls, their wonderful friends, I mean enemies, at Infinity Ward's Call of Duty. With the video, if you all remember back in October before Modern Warfare was released, the Bags video, the Friends Against Grenade Spammers, and it had the, LA Angels pitcher. Being like a spokesperson for fags. Remember that?
Yes.
Battlefield took a complete nutshot and made a frags video. Friends really against grenade spammers. And pretty much they took Modern Warfare's video and said, why the hell would you take a baseball pitcher and make them a spokesperson a war game? These are people who get paid millions of dollars and complain when their arm like twitches a little bit. And it was just a really funny video, and if you haven't seen it, go look it up. It's a kick in the nuts to Modern Warfare, and speaking of kicking Modern Warfare in the nuts, let's talk about my favorite topic in the past, like, 2 weeks, the Modern Warfare 2 map packs. Now, these maps, 5 maps, standard map pack, 3 new maps, 2 classics from Modern Warfare 1. Now, I know what you're thinking. These are probably, you know, a normal $5 purchase? No, you're wrong.
No.
$15. Yes.
Gas.
$15, people. 1,200 Microsoft points for 5 maps, and only 2 of them, and 3 of them are new.
Tower, you know what I think of that?
Blasphemy? Bullshit? Yes, I agree.
Yeah, I think that's bullshit.
Unnecessary.
Yes, is that going to be your new saying, Rob?
That's been my thing, and then they made me stop saying
he's
it.
He's been trying to do it, but we're not letting because it's annoying.
Hey, Rob, can you do me a favor?
Yeah?
Can you describe Red Dead Redemption to me in one sentence?
Red Dead Redemption is like GTA in the Wild West.
Okay, I just wanted to be clear.
I love it. But yeah, Modern Warfare's $15 map pack called a stimulus package.
Stimulus.
Who are they stimulating? Really?
My balls.
No, they're not stimulating my balls. They're stimulating their wallets. But what's even better is even though Modern Warfare is releasing a $15 map pack, their best friends at Bad Company are releasing a map pack for free.
Free?
Free. $0.00.
I'll have that kind of money.
How many Microsoft points is that?
0.
Oh my Jesus.
They're actually paying you to download
yeah,
the
they're
apps.
Giving you Microsoft points to download these maps. And they come out on the same day.
Are there any maps that you really enjoy from COD?
No.
Like, I only ever hear people say, oh man, I really hate this map. But you never hear anyone say, like, oh, I love Itachi.
I love it. I don't love any of the Modern Warfare 2 maps.
I
think they all suck.
Yeah, Terminal's like okay, but you don't have to be like, I love this map.
I only like the third person maps. That's the only part of the game I like is third person.
And the Modern Warfare 1 maps, the ones they are adding, Crash, and I forget the other one, those were actually good maps, and I did like...
I hated Crash.
I liked Crash. Crash was decent. But I'm not gonna... But one, I sold my Modern Warfare 1, because I needed the money, and I'm not gonna play it again. And, I don't love Modern Warfare at all, so I'm not gonna spend $15 of my hard-earned money on 3 new maps and 2 that I've already played the fuck out of.
No.
Yeah.
No, not
Rob, you don't even have Modern Warfare, so you really...
Yeah, I do. What are you talking about?
You just
we did Spec Ops.
Yet. Oh, yeah, we put Spec... We put, like, 2 games of Spec Ops. Oh, yeah.
How many maps are in the original?
Oh, I think, like...
Well, not the original, but, like, Modern Warfare 2. Like, how many maps came with it?
Oh, I don't know. Probably, like, 15.
15 maps? So, basically, they're only charging you for maps when you buy that game. The campaign's free.
Yeah, pretty much. It's ridiculous. It really is bullshit.
Yeah, I'm going to stick to my model for my Battlefield, then.
I am, too. Definitely.
Yeah.
Unless they're giving me Blood Gulch, then I'm not paying you $15.
Yes, I agree. If for whatever reason Bungie, for whatever reason, feels like they should charge $15 for Blood Gulch, I will buy that shit. I don't care. That is $15 well spent. That is memories.
I actually want Headlong.
Headlong was a very good map.
Hang 'em
High. I
forgot about
it.
Hang 'em High.
Oh god, I love that map.
But I'll take. I will buy Blood Ghost for $15. I will not feel bad about it because those are memories. Memories that'll be brought back to me.
No, but you would give all the maps for free. Cool.
Warhog Wars, Cat and Mouse.
So much fun.
Wow. What was the other one where he shot brute shots across the map?
Wasn't that like Spider or something?
I have no idea. Just good times.
I know it was Troy. Like, you would shoot all the brute shots and then you'd run in and hit each other with the back of the brute shots.
Sounds so. I never played that. It wasn't looking good. But yeah, I just think it's more class action DLC bullshit. And it's just showing that. And it actually is showing that EA has the right mind when it comes to DLC, and Activision and Infinity Ward do not. Speaking of Activision and Infinity Ward not having their right minds, let's go with Infinity Ward's 2 top heads getting fired.
Yeah, actually, you might want to look out for Medal of Honor, because word on the street is they might be going to EA.
Yeah, I actually do remember hearing about that. Yeah, that is right. So Modern Warfare's got some tight quarters now.
And I don't remember where I saw it, but I guess they're talking about a Medal of Honor like Modern Warfare style game, and so
yeah,
it could be
yeah,
that
that's
they
the
come.
New one. That's
yeah,
the new one supposed to be.
Already came up for that.
And since it's EA, that could mean free downloads.
Yeah,
probably. Just buy the game, reserve it.
Yeah, I know, right?
Do it, kids. It'll be better for you.
But I'm going back.
Give you the game.
We're going back to
they'll pay you to buy the game.
We're going back to the Modern Warfare firings. In case you guys haven't heard, the 2 top heads at Infinity Ward have been fired from Activision. from Infinity War by Activision. So this has led to the question, what's going to happen to Call of Duty? There are Activision has stated that they'll be releasing a new Call of Duty perhaps in the next year, in this year, 2010, towards the end. And the Call of Duty after that will not, may or may not be headed by Infinity Ward. So in other words, Infinity Ward may not be making another Call of Duty.
Boo.
Lego Call of Duty?
No, I was definitely thinking Call of Duty 20. I lost it.
You're an idiot.
Yep. Yes, you do.
But like...
Wait, hold on. I have a question, though. Does Infinity Ward themselves hold the rights to the Modern Warfare name?
Nope. They don't own anything Call of Duty. Activision owns it all. Activision owns everything of that that has the words Call of Duty in it.
Looks like there's going to be a lot more Nazi zombies.
Oh, boy.
Maybe we'll play terrorist zombies instead.
Yeah.
Some Russian zombies or Islam zombies.
Or Price zombies.
Because Price is a zombie.
Thanks to zombies.
Yeah, I guess the shit kicked out of him and he still gets up. No, you'll play Soap Zombie because the guy pulls a knife out of his chest.
No, Roach. Roach died too. Oh yeah, never mind.
Yeah, Roach was blown to pieces.
He was caught on. He got lit on fire. He didn't blow up.
Oh, he might as well have. He might be cooler.
Ghost is still alive anyway. It's
cool. Yeah, he's still alive. But
I guess spoiler alert too for Call of Duty if no one's beaten the campaign.
Who plays campaign? It's Call of Duty.
Yeah, who really plays campaign in Call of Duty? Nobody.
Even though I have all the cool kids do.
Speaking of campaign over multiplayer, Halo 2. Tyler, I've been wanting to talk to you about Halo 2.
Okay.
Halo 2.
Yeah.
Biggest letdown game of all time, possibly.
Yeah.
I mean, I played Halo for so long. I love it for the campaign. I enjoy the multiplayer. Halo 2. Campaign was weak at best. Multiplayer was the worst multiplayer ever. I cannot stand Halo 2 multiplayer. I hate it with everything that I am. Getting dual-wielded SMG'd over and over and over again, only to be three-shotted by a battle rifle. Give me my assault rifle, please. It's all I want.
Yeah, it's funny, because Bungie even admitted that Halo 2 was a flop, and they actually did it under a year, because their original Halo 2 was going to be, like, way over-budgeted. So instead of, you know, extending the budget or just extending the baking time of the game, they decided just to scrap it and half-ass it.
So, did you enjoy Halo 2's multiplayer?
Everyone enjoyed it because it was like...
Everyone enjoyed it? No, the reason why everyone enjoyed it, yeah, because it was the biggest thing. And there was nothing to rival it. And back then... There were no other really big mechanics. Call of Duty was still an infant.
But given the choice, would you play Halo 1 multiplayer online or Halo 2 multiplayer?
Halo
online?
1. Halo 1.
Yeah.
Do I get custom games?
Yeah.
Of course.
I mean, you can make them in Halo 1.
Then,
Halo 1, without a doubt.
Do I get to see my Xbox's name again?
Yeah, but...
Yes, you get to see your Xbox's name again.
Because, like, what really did it for me for Halo 2 wasn't the matchmaking. I didn't like the matchmaking. I loved custom games. There's... So many custom games, so many like different variety of things like zombies and cops and robbers and hide and seek. That's
like
really
if it was Halo 3, but with Halo 1's weapon setup.
That'd be sick. But I'm kind of disappointed in the Halo 3 community. There's not many custom games. Like I don't feel like when I go into like when I sign on Xbox Live, I'm not gonna find a custom game. That's fun.
Except
they're
for
all the same.
Ball.
Yeah, they're all the same thing. They're all
Call of Duty.
They're all Griftball or they're all Infection. They're nothing. There's nothing innovative anymore. Even with the expanse of Forge, you'd think there'd be a lot more innovation. Like, there was in the beginning, but then Call of Duty Modern Warfare 1 came out.
Well, we won't have to worry about that in Reach, now, would we?
No, we won't. Well, then again, Halo Reach Forge has not been even announced yet.
Well, who cares? We'll go back to Halo 2 and change our colors when we get killed by a zombie. Kick the kid who's screaming at his ball. Alright? We'll go back to
Actually,
he uses pistol. I want
Tyler, can I just use your podcast to give myself a gigantic pat on the back?
Yes, you can.
I am claiming the invention of SWAT right now. I'm claiming that I invented SWAT.
In
Halo 2, battle rifles, no shield is what I called it, burns. Like, the second day it came out, only way I enjoyed that game, and then SWAT came out and I was crushed.
Well, that's you know, me and Jason. Me and Jason made vehicular...
I invented vehicular infection.
Me and you
infection.
Did it. We were on the same map.
Yep.
We created vehicular infection.
yeah, that was like the second day, and then some guy stole from me, kept the same name and everything. I called it Vehicular Infect.
Yeah, and I remember because you guys needed me to do the spawn points because you guys had no idea how to make spawn points for vehicles or like people, and I made those spawn points.
Will Bungie be cutting us our checks anytime soon? Or
Yeah, right. Yeah, me, you, Jason, everyone else claims they made a game type that Bungie now is popular.
I actually set up the idea for Halo.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah, it was my idea.
In a post-it, you know, dropped it off.
You have the napkin with the idea on the back of it.
Hanging on my wall.
I was 7 years
old.
We
were both in a bar one time. It was really late, and I just started drawing on a napkin. Yeah, I see him come up and look over my shoulder and take a couple pictures. So yes, Halo was made off a drunk guy.
Yeah, but yeah, Halo Reach will definitely. Not Halo Reach. I definitely agree, Taylor, that Halo 2 was kind of it was a half-assed effort, a half-assed effort that everyone loved. But in retrospect, it wasn't that good.
Even though everyone played the campaign at least 20 times.
No, only we played the campaign at least 20 times. Everyone else...
I played the campaign like 20
Jason,
times.
Jason, did you play the campaign 20 times?
I don't know. The only game that rivaled me for Halo 2 was Star Wars Battlefront.
Oh, that was so good.
Oh, I'm so upset that company closed down.
Yeah. Mass Effect 2 DLC. Coming out soon. The new character and mission. That looks pretty interesting.
Yeah.
I'm kind of interested how they're going to do this James Bond-esque kind of thing going on here.
James Bond.
The whole premise of it is they're going to have you... By the way, it's going to be like a James Bond kind of thing. You're going to go dress up, go to a party, schmooze around with everybody, gather information, and like be like a freaking spy.
Does that mean I finally get to get my space
But wait,
tuxedo?
Wait, and what's that?
This one's not free. This one is
going to
be the first paid DLC.
Even for people who...
Oh, because they said
free ones, like the guns, the armor, and the gunship and missions that came out, that are coming up.
Oh, I thought they were actually going to have a free, like...
No, this one I'm talking about right now, this big one, is going to be paid for because it's like 2 hours worth of content. It's actually a bigger DLC.
Oh.
Yeah, if it's going to be big, then yes. If it's like crap like guns and vehicles, no. Like guns and guns, vehicles and armor.
Force
are
armor.
Free.
Guns, roses.
Yeah, force armor.
Huh. All right, Tom, I have a question for you. You say it's gonna be like what, 2 hours approximately?
Yeah,
DLC?
Like a 2-hour edition with a new character and new abilities, and you can have the character actually like be in the you can start a new game, have the character, find the character, do her mission, and have her throughout the story.
All right, how much do you think that should cost?
90 bucks.
No, like maybe like $5-$10. Somewhere around there.
I see.
Yeah, like 5, 8, somewhere around there. Not too much, but not too little.
I say 120.
Okay.
15. Because, like, one character can drastically change the entire gameplay.
Yeah, and apparently this character, she's supposed to have an invisibility backstab ability. So she can go invisible and backstab people for, like, an insta-kill or, like, a really severe damage. So it's going to be a big play when you go through, like, your fourth, fifth run-through.
Nice.
But I'd pay like $5, $6, $7, $8 for this.
But you would buy it if it was $10. Would you buy it if
Maybe.
It was $10?
I'd have to think about it. It wouldn't be a death buy, it would be a maybe buy.
See some reviews.
Yeah, see some reviews for it first. If it was like $5, then a death buy. $5, sure.
Okay. Only because I personally, to me, EA has never given me a shit DLC. Every single DLC they've ever put out, in my opinion, has been well worth the money.
Yeah, I completely agree. Indeed. EA, the company just, big game developers just take some notes from EA, because they're doing it right. I am not going to be disappointed if I buy an EA DLC, because I know, one, I'm getting a good product. Two, I know if I buy their game, I'm going to get a lot of stuff free, and who doesn't love free, and I'm only going to have to pay for the really big, important things that are a significant impact on the game.
Well, Bungie was doing it right until Microsoft's Hammer and Sickle came in.
Yeah, that's true. But, moving on.
To talk about EA, though, do you guys hate that stupid, like, sign-in account that EA makes you have to do?
And their crappy servers?
Yeah.
And their crappy servers.
Well, after... The first time I made my account, I didn't really have a problem with it
I actually
at all.
Did have a problem.
Like,
I got my Terminus armor. Somebody's supposed to get the GameStop exclusive. Yeah, I never got that. I signed up on EA and everything, and it says I got it, but I never got it. That makes me sad.
That's weird.
Dang. Because, like, ever since Burnout Paradise came out, like, my EA thing was all set and done. I only put in my password, like, once.
Yeah, and apparently, according to the Battlefield veterans, my Xbox Live account of 4 years doesn't exist. I don't know.
Nope.
My Xbox Live account of 5 years does exist.
Really? Well, it
according to the EA servers, anyways. Because I've gotten some of the like the Dragon Age Journey like online flash game stuff in game, so I've never had a problem with it. Sometimes it's annoying if like I'm not connected, it'll sit there for me and be like, "Hey, did you know you're not connected to the internet?" I'm like, "No shit."
It just bothers me how, like, you put the password in when you get the game.
Yeah, I
know. And then it never asks for it again, and then I haven't bought an EA game in a while, and at Battlefield's like, what's your password? It's like, ugh.
Yeah,
so you go through, like, every password you've ever had in your life. It's just a pain.
Yeah,
it's always the last one you pick, too.
It's like, how many different ways can I spell my name?
No, just self. Taylor's password is his name.
I think I put a number in there, too. I honestly can't remember what my password is, so...
Damn.
It's the O! It's a zero!
Yep. Prom.
Taylor, I know you want to talk for this, talk about offline gaming. So,
yes.
Go on.
Just, like, I'm not sure if... I haven't been keeping up on my Xbox games that much, because I'm kind of just prepping for Halo Reach, resting my hands. But I'm trying to find, like, some good offline co-op games.
Uh-huh.
Or just some good offline multiplayer, like good old Halo 1 style campaign, Halo 1 multiplayer, and it just isn't around anymore. Like, every time I go to play a co-op game, it co-ops multiplayer. Or if you want to play, like, a good match of Call of Duty, you really need to play online.
Uh-huh.
And what it is, like, your friends come over, you're like, oh, dude, let's play some campaign, or let's play some co-op, let's play some Call of Duty, everybody go home. I just feel like one of the best parts about gaming is, like, you know, killing your friend and then just like punching him in the face when he whines about it. And when it's online gaming, you just don't get the same experience.
Yeah,
you get the kid.
You can't hit your mic and still feel his pain.
Yeah, you get the kid crying for chocolate milk. You don't get like. You just can't get that like tight knit gaming experience online. And it just seems like the gaming industry is going away from local game and local co op and stuff like that.
I agree. And
like, have you heard about Reach? Do you know if there's going to be local co op?
I'm sure there is. Since they've had in the past 4 Halos, they've had local co-op, so I'm sure they're going to. I'm sure they're going to have it without a doubt. But, I do agree that it's sad that kind of stuff went away, because a lot of old school gamers love LAN parties and love that local crap.
Yes, 16 Xboxes in one room.
Always great.
Everyone's sweating, all the windows are open.
Everyone's swearing, trying to make sure the cords.
And I have the one modded one.
Make sure the cords are long enough, and they're not long enough. You're trying to suspend the router in midair so it doesn't fall.
You finally get it going at like 3 in the morning, everyone's tired of it. All the windows open, everyone's sweating.
Yeah,
it's
like,
disgusting.
I miss that. And it's
someone walks downstairs and just throw up.
And then, just another thing I wanted to talk about was, like, the length of campaigns in games. Like, Uncharted 2 was a great game. The only thing I really had a problem with is that the campaign was a little short. Halo campaigns are always a little short, in my opinion. And when you have a game like Dragon Age or Fallout, where you can literally play that game for, you know, hundreds of hours, or like Final Fantasy 7, it just seems like, if you're going to charge me $60, I want a long campaign.
Yeah, I agree. I couldn't agree more, and it's a pity, but that's the way the industry is going.
Yeah, definitely. RPGs are going to call the story nowadays.
Yeah, if you want a story, you got to go in the RPG.
Yeah, you can't stick with Halo anymore, I guess. Cause...
Even though a bunch of people always say that's their thing, but...
Bungie tells a good story, it's really short.
Yeah,
how long did it take you guys to beat Halo 3? Did you do it one night?
A day.
Yeah.
It took me a night.
No, it was 8 hours. I finished it at 11 at night the day I got it.
Yeah,
it was like 3.
I think I got it at like... I played it for the first time at like 10 that night. And I'm going to finish...
You can even do a legendary run of Halo 1 in one night if you're up long enough.
Yeah, I know. I know what you mean.
If you don't have to go through the library.
Oh my god, please stop.
But I see what you're saying, because Final Fantasy 13 for Xbox is 3 discs. And it took me 2 days to get to the second disc of straight playing.
Yeah, that's a lot, and it's only RPGs, but I wish it was more, because it's a pity that we're going more online, and a lot of the newer gamers aren't going to get to experience that LAN experience that we've all experienced.
Oh, with a game like Battlefield, charge me $30 since my campaign's 4 minutes long and it's not even that great. I just want to play the multiplayer.
Still haven't played it.
Me neither. I played the first level, I was like, this is boring. Hop on multiplayer and haven't looked back.
Same thing I did.
I thought the campaign was pretty
good. Apparently
like,
it was decent,
decent,
but it's just basically been overlooked.
It's pretty boring, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Maybe it just starts off slow.
The first level is just like the World War I again, and it was like, oh, why am I? Call of Duty World at War? Save me.
Nazi zombies.
No!
I was having nightmares again.
But yeah, I definitely am in favor of a longer campaign.
Yeah.
And we definitely need one.
I agree with the LAN thing going on too. I think we need to get that back going. Like, you can't walk through a house without tripping on a wire. Someone breaks their neck. You know, the usual. Someone has to go home and get another wire.
I know, right?
Rob.
Someone's gotta have a router, and if someone doesn't, you gotta make sure it's the right type of router, and you gotta have enough cords, and
So much fun setting it up.
Yeah, half the fun was just setting it up.
Yeah. The outlets blow out because there's seven
you're
Xboxes
just so mad
plugged
by the
in.
Time you're playing, it's just the greatest game ever because everyone's angry at each other.
It doesn't matter. Like, when you get the teams, everyone's being on the same team, but no one is on the same team. You're all on, like, three different Xboxes. You got one guy on blue, three guys on red. They're screen watching, and good times.
So, Halo Reach,
hell
yes. LAN party?
Alright, let's do it.
No, we'll have a Halo period LAN party. We'll go through all the Halo games in succession order, going through the campaigns. It'll be the greatest thing ever.
Wait, so are we going to play, like, the second level of Halo 2 and then switch to ODST
no.
and then come back?
No. Tyler, weren't me and you going to do this?
Yeah, good.
Yeah, we're going to start with Reach, then Halo 1, Halo 2, ODST, Halo 3.
Why start with Reach? Why not then, start with Halo 1?
Because Reach is the prelude.
Oh, yeah. We're going to play them in chronological order.
I'm going to have to practice my screen looking for multiplayer.
I know, I've been rusty.
I got my
that.
Glasses ready for that. I got, like, the mirrors on the sides.
Should I bring my Halo clicks?
Go for it. But,
I got my Master Chief action figure ready.
Oh, dude, I got my Chief Master Figure that I got from you ready.
Actually, mine's head fell off because he fell off of... He took two tours and the Halo ring just didn't work out the second time.
I also like to point out randomly that all the talk about the Pokemon games, I am now, as we speak, playing Pokemon Pearl.
Really? You're playing a game during the podcast, Rob? Really?
How unprofessional.
Yeah,
I'm playing two games currently.
Yeah, so suck it.
Wait, we're all at the same table. How come I can't see you guys doing that?
Oh, shut up.
You've been
all
lying
right.
to the audience for 11 episodes.
Look who sucks a dick.
I'm looking at him.
Anyway, Travis, it's that time of the month. What are we hating on today?
I really don't know.
Come on, you gotta hate on something.
Snipers on Battlefield.
Yeah, that's a good hate.
Put your hater vloggers on, people. It's hating time.
It's pretty good hate right there, Jason. I agree with that. Snipers on Battlefield. They're everywhere. They're on your team. Your full squad.
No, only the ones on
offense.
No,
even on defense, it's still unnecessary. If you have eight snipers on the entire thing, it's just like, go home.
No, I say we just change it to Call of Duty Migrators.
Yeah.
No, I say...
Because they migrate to other games and, like, poison them, and then just fall apart.
Yeah.
I agree.
Yeah, Call of Duty's brought in a lot of casual gamers, so hopefully they won't ruin Reach.
Oh, they will. But they'll leave soon enough.
Actually, did you read about the matchmaking on Reach on IGN?
No, I didn't.
Oh, there's going to be a section just for hardcore.
Really?
Like, it's a little different than it is now, where it's, like, you know, there's casual and then, like, the regular gaming. It's going to be called, like, the arena. And, like, there's different levels, which you have to, like, play a certain amount of games and have a certain kill-death ratio, which lets you in. And then you play through a season, and then depending on how well you do, you move up to the next rank, and you play with certain players of your skill.
Shit, I must have missed that.
It's on Bungie. It should be right on there.
Yeah, it's 30.
Oh, it just came up then. No wonder I missed it. Oh, shit. I'm going to look at that when we're done. Now that's I like that. Now I'm glad I know what Arena is. That's great. That's awesome.
I just wanted Arena to be that game type in between matchmaking. Like when you're sitting in the lobby, everyone's just running around killing each other. That'd be a lot better, I think.
That'd be fun. But, well, wrapping up, we're about to play a game of Who Would Win. Taylor, I'm assuming, since you listen to our podcast, I'm assuming you know how it works.
I have a vague idea of how it works.
All right, well, then I'll make it simple then. One of us gives another person two objects, things, people, places, whatever, and we decide which one would win and why.
Walmart versus Shaw's.
Walmart.
Yeah, definitely.
And I work at Shaw's.
Walmart would devour Shaw's.
So, Rob, why don't you start us off with who will win?
For who? Who would you like
me
to give
it to?
You
want.
You choose.
Oh, no, I'm going to give it to Travis.
Yeah.
Travis, I would like to know who would win. The guy in the Frags video, not the pitcher, but the other guy that tries hating on the pitcher and gets killed dead. Or Steve Irwin.
Is Steve Irwin dead?
Yes.
Well, then that's obvious. Well, is the other guy dead?
Yes.
So
you're they're both
it's
dead.
It's a rain body.
Okay, okay, which one would win in hell?
This is an.
Let me clear this up for you. You're playing Dante's Inferno, and you see both of those guys down, there, and they're fighting each other. Who's winning?
They would both stop and try to kill Dante. Me.
There you go.
This one fails. Travis, you're up.
Now, who would win? Popeye or Spider-Man?
Has Popeye eaten spinach?
Yes, and Spider-Man's a symbiote.
I'm going with Popeye. Alright. I'm going with Popeye, because Spider-Man would whip him up. Popeye would just, like, break out of that, turn his arms into, like, tanks, and just, like, blow the shit out of him. That's what he does.
Tommy Pickle? No.
Taylor. Who would win?
Yes.
Drake from Uncharted, or Lara Croft from Tomb Raider?
I feel like Drake's ability to get out of horribly, horribly, horribly terrible situations, seemingly unscathed, would let him get over Lara Croft, who could just, you know, get banged by Drake.
And Drake could still joke about it.
Alright, Taylor, ask Jason.
Alright, Jason, who would win? My awful computer and its inability to let me record anything, or me.
Do you have your fists?
No, I've lost both my fists in a Pokemon gaming accident.
Do you have your feet?
Yes, I do.
All right, then you.
Okay, thank you.
All right, Jason.
Is your computer a brick?
Keep the computer dead.
All right, Jason, you're up.
It's an iPad. All right.
All right, Rob, who would win, Stosh or Gutsman?
Wait, who is Gutsman?
What?
He's a boss. He's a boss from Mega Man 1 through 8.
Oh, okay, no, I know who he is, okay.
I choose the one from Mega Man 3, if he's in there.
Okay, I know who he is. Actually, you know what, you could have said a dead baby, because no matter what, Stosh is going to lose.
Stosh or Stosh?
You would have a draw of suckiness.
Stosh or division by zero?
Division by zero.
Alright, guys, enough. Alright, well, I guess it's going to close it up for this episode. Taylor, thanks for coming on the show. We really appreciate it. It's been real.
Thank you very much.
Yeah, definitely. We'll definitely have you back. I enjoyed having you here. And, anyone going to say anything else to add before we end this bad boy?
Don't play Halo 2.
Travis, anything? No? Rob?
Yeah, completely random. I would love to see a new Counter-Strike game since...
That would be nice. Steam. That would be nice.
Yes.
Yeah.
This is a completely random thought.
That's a good random thought. I like it.
I think Scooby-Doo should end his 20-year streak.
Scooby-Doo needs to die? That would
The people in Coolsville need to chill out.
Jason, anything to close out on?
I'm gonna go outside and cry because real life's graphics aren't as good as Final Fantasy's.
Alright, guys,
some orphan Russian babies out there.
Alright, guys, well, thanks again for listening to My New Studios. Make sure to tell your friends, your family, everybody you know to listen to us. We can use the hits. Make sure to leave a comment on our Facebook page. I think our Zoom.net page is working. I'm not sure. No one ever checks that. Or make sure definitely review on iTunes. We'll give you a shout out if you leave it on there. But until next time, guys, we out.
Awooga.
Peace.